The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
From Studio 7, I'm your host, Alex Pernuk. Regardless of how you're listening, we're glad to have you joining us. When you have a few minutes, take time to browse around our media website, www.theflypod.com. We have a nationwide network of show hosts, and we podcast a wide variety of programs daily to thousands of small communities across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. When it comes to media, we are what's next. My guests today are Erin Tuttle and Heather Crossan. Both these ladies first alerted this show, America Speaks Out, regarding the implementation of national standards onto our educational system in America. Today, they are back to give us an update on what is going on with Common Core. Heather, Erin, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First, let me congratulate you two moms on the victory. In Indiana, you had, so to speak, stopped Common Core in its tracks, as some say. However, I kind of believe it's just made a temporary halt. Am I correct in that assumption? And would you bring our audience up to date on where Common Core stands both in Indiana and nationally?
Well, sure, Alex, I'll take that question. This is Heather. You know, in Indiana, we were most excited. Governor Pence signed our Common Core timeout or pause bill, as you will, as it's being called. And we are now scheduled to have a legislative study session. Look at that. They're going to review the quality. We're going to have a cost analysis finally done. And the State Board of Education is also called to review the standards and make sure that Indiana has the highest, most internationally benchmarked standards possible. So we think that's a great victory. We were very happy with that. And since that time, many states have also joined in the pushback. It's spread to over 19 states. Michigan just recently passed similar legislation to that of Indiana. Other states are you know, working in this direction also.
You know, it's one of the interesting things. Someone told me that, well, Common Core, what the heck is it? And then I says, you know what, I challenge you. Just go on the internet, type in Common Core in your state, and you will be amazed at what is going on. Recently, in an article in New York Times in the opinions page, they talked about who's minding the schools. And it was kind of interesting because these authors who are academics talked about the fact that they compare us to Europe all the time. Well, when they compare us, that's everybody. But when they compare Europe, I guess it's not everybody. Can you speak to that, Erin?
Yes, I'd be happy to. You're absolutely right. There's so much data that they try to glean from international tests like TIMSS and the PISA, P-I-S-A, assessments that are given internationally. And in some countries like Germany and across Europe, China, not everybody gets tested, especially at the high school level. You know, only the cream of the crop goes on to high school in a lot of those countries. And so they're only testing the top performers in their country. In America, because we are a free democratic society and we give all kids the opportunity to go
good,
through all
bad,
levels,
and whatever.
Good, bad, and whatever. You know, we test a sampling of our population that is an accurate representation of our population. I mean, if you think about China, a lot of times they perform number one on these tests in mathematics and English language arts. I mean, we've seen how China competes in the Olympics. I mean, who in their right mind is going to imagine that China would not put their best athletes, you know, mental athletes out there to be taking tests on like PISA and TIMSS? There's an argument that pro-Common Core supporters make, you know, we should be more like China. We should make our standards more like China so that we can perform like China. I mean, I don't know of any other country in the world that I would rather be less like as a nation than China. And quite honestly, I think any attempt at the Common Core to emulate China's academic standards fell flat because they have very little alignment with them. I mean, when you look at countries like Singapore, top performer internationally, they have a wonderful education system. When you take Common Core math standards and you compare them to Singapore math standards, they only have a 13% alignment. So the idea that we have made the Common Core standards to emulate high-performing countries is flat out not evidenced by any research that I've come across.
Seems to me like we're comparing avocados and apples here instead of
comparing something, but it's not accurate.
In our country, K Kids bloom and blossom at different ages. Sometimes you get a kid that is just education bound from the beginning, and he'll have no problems. He'll go on to college and get a good job. But there are other kids that are just a little bit quirky. Sometimes they don't figure it out until senior year of high school, and they wouldn't stand a chance in these other countries.
As far as the Common Core supporters, you know, saying that they want to emulate China, I mean, is that what they mean? With the Common Core, there is an increase in the testing.
I don't think they'll tell us.
Well, I don't think they will either. But I think when you read the tea leaves, sometimes some ideas can be seen. And if they're talking about China and emulating things like that, I mean, are they also talking about emulating the testing? And if so, I think it's pretty evidenced in the increase in the PARC assessment and through the Smarter Balance assessment that we will be testing kids more often, and we'll be testing them on more items. So what happens as a result of that testing, that's to be decided.
You know, continuing on with this Common Core and their standards, which is, you know, Common Core state standards, there were two primary groups originally that were pushing this Common Core standards, and that was the National Governors Association and also the Council of Chief State School Officials. Has there been any change as to the level of support by these two groups or their members, and have any other nationally recognized groups chimed in on Common Core?
Officially, not to my knowledge, but we do know that many of the governors are not dues-paying members. The National Governors Association does not publish their list of dues-paying members, so we don't actually know which governors are in the National Governors Association. But we do know that both of those two groups are private trade associations in Washington, D.C. They are not accountable to the electorate. And this is a big concern.
Right. And I would just like to add that the National Governors Association has a separate branch. It's called the National Governors Association Center for Best Practices. And that is actually the group within the National Governors Association that holds the copyright on the Common Core standards and did the development of them. And when people talk about the federal government being involved in the development of the Common Core standards, and all of the supporters of Common Core, like Jeb Bush and his crew, they tell us, no, there was no federal government involved in the development of the standards. It was strictly state-led, and that's that. Well, the federal government does give money to the National Governors Association Center for Best Practices. So, you know, when you have the group that holds the copyright and basically developed the Common Core standards accepting grants from the federal government, that in turn implies to the most average person that the federal government is involved. I mean, he who pays the piper calls the tune.
So it's sort of like a backdoor financing situation here.
Yeah, there's a lot of that with the Common Core.
Well, I was wondering, since they do that backdoor financing, have you ever looked anywhere deeper to try to figure out, granted that everybody tells us this wasn't done or accomplished vis-a-vis the Educational Department of Education, but you say through the Governor's Association, has anybody looked even deeper than that as to where these standards actually came from? The idea of how we're going to be teaching our children, specifically with regard to test scores and how they do the testing, where all of this stuff has got to be done, I guess, on computers now?
One point of caution and a difference in why it is a shift is that traditionally, you know, states have always been responsible for the development of standards and state testing, and they have to do it in a somewhat transparent process, right? Because if you don't get the information you want from them, you can exercise, you know, a Freedom of Information Act on them, and they would be required to give you that information. Here's the difference. When you have private trade associations like the National Governors Association, Center for Best Practices, or the, you know, Chief Counsel State School Officers, they do not have any instrument of power from the state. So they don't have to go through those same exercises as a group who is actually, you know, has an instrument of power from the state. So if I wanted to go to the National Governors Association and I wanted to see who was in the room when that was actually written, that is not available. I mean, the Common Core standards were written in secret, and they had confidential agreements in place. No one was allowed in the rooms. No one could tell. They didn't even release who the people were until they had so much griping about it. It was finally released after they were written. That is a major shift from where we were in America to where we're headed with the Common Core, and that's something that many people who support the Common Core fail to explain to people. Now, if I'm a parent and I have a problem with something in my child's school and we're following Common Core, copyrighted, owned by the National Governors Association, the only people able to change them or to delete any standard, how do I contact them? I mean, I can't go to the Indiana Department of Ed. who's going to help me there? They don't have the power to change the standards or to delete them. They may add 15%, which won't be on the national test. That really puts a barrier between the people and those responsible and in charge of education.
So you're saying the school board, basically local school boards, which were sort of our governing body in this country of how we did things in our educational system, had been actually cut out of the system.
It trounces local school boards.
Why is it that they got built into this game plan, so to speak, of this Common Core? I mean, first of all, I mean, if somebody would have presented something like that to me, I would have been wondering as a school board member. But all of a sudden, it seems like it's here. And how did it get here so quick?
Well, Alex, I'll tell you, it happened very quickly and very quietly, and there was not much publicity. In fact, when I first found out about this in the fall of 2011, almost an entire year after Indiana had adopted those standards, I Googled it, and I found virtually nothing. And I know for a fact that there really was nothing written at all until after they were adopted, and then it was just maybe a small mention, a couple sentences in the paper. But they were adopted in the summer of August of 2010, and that was a mere 8 weeks after the final drafts were released. So in an eight-week time period, you had dozens of states signing on to a set of standards they really hadn't had time to compare and see what was at stake here. And that's why when you look at the meeting minutes from the August 3rd Education Roundtable meeting, you will see that it was essentially David Coleman, the architect for the Common Core, came in, gave a sales pitch, a couple questions were asked, but there was no research provided, there was no real debate, there was no cost analysis, all of the things that I would have assumed as a citizen was just the hallmark of good governance. I would have expected to have seen crosswalks, comparisons of the Indiana standards versus the Common Core, grade by grade, subject by subject. I would have expected to see reports from higher ed, from some of our university professors, from teachers, because that was the process that was often used in the past with standards revisions. But in this case, there simply wasn't time. In order to be eligible for the federal funds, the Race to the Top funds, in order to be eligible for the first round, the standards hadn't even been released when we applied for the first round of Race to the Top funds. So August of 2010 was the deadline to apply for the second round of Race to the Top funds. And again, that was a mere 8 weeks after their final draft release. And so states really didn't have the time to do the proper vetting they should have. And that's why you're seeing the pushback occur now. The debate that should have occurred on the front end is now occurring belatedly on the back end, and it's turning out to be a huge issue. Opposition is growing all across the country. Now not a day goes by that there isn't, you know, one, two, three, four articles, national journals, USA Today, Wall Street Journal. It's really picking up steam and becoming a major issue.
Just for clarity, who is this David Coleman guy that he had this much power that he could get these things done without debate and without any kind of analysis? Is he somebody special?
No. Well, I mean, one thing I'll point out about David Coleman, he's considered the architect of the Common Core. He takes credit with writing the English language arts standards. He has never taught, ever. He has never been involved in standards writing before. David Coleman did not have the resume that several others in this country have, like Sandra Stotsky, who was much more qualified to write the English language arts standards. So in my opinion, you have David Coleman, who has never taught. He was a Rhodes Scholar. He went to Yale and classic studies major. And, you know, then he worked for McKinsey and Company.
That's a publishing firm?
No. McKinsey is a international consulting group. They're almost like a small country, they're so powerful. You know, they're an international consulting group. So he basically was there, and then he started Achieve. Now, Achieve is the group credited with writing the Common Core standards for the National Governors Association of Best Practices. So David Coleman, is he special? I think he's a legend in his own mind, but there's a lot of people in academia who are not satisfied with the results that he delivered in writing the English language arts.
I just keep wondering, how do these people get away with stuff like this? I mean, just from the legal point of view, I mean, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I mean, I am familiar with the enumerated clauses are. And in our Constitution, I mean, there's nothing about education. In fact, you know, just having looked at education, it seemed the success of the United States was the very fact that we started at the local level and then each little place did its own kind of thing. And then when something worked out really well, we went on with that. And yet, how were they able to do this? I mean, they circumvented the law. I mean, I heard a congressman say that somehow or other they connect this and the funding to the education department to Commerce Clause. How the heck did they get away with it? Are there any prevailing laws about this that you can mention or bring up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to be a constitutional scholar to see the abuses in the way that the Common Core process happened. I mean, as far as violating laws, it does. There are actually three federal statutes. One is the General Education Provision Act. The second is the Department of Education Organization Act. And the third one is the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965. These three laws actually prohibit the federal government from directing or supervising K-12 curriculum or instructional materials. Now, the federally funded testing consortiums, Smarter Balance, and the Park Assessment, I mean, they are funded with money from the Department of Education to, you know, form the assessments, the Common Core assessments that all the children will take. They are also funding the development of curriculum guidelines. This is a direct violation of all three of these laws.
I took a look at how much money the Department of Education gets, and they get a big chunk for a small agency. They only have, like, I guess, 400,000 employees, but their fingers are all over the place, and yet they're telling us things to do that we shouldn't be doing. And that's the sense I get out of it. Going on with this Common Core thing, though, I keep reading in the newspaper, we're saying, well, it's social engineering, thing that. Recently, I watched a video out of Utah, and it talked about English and math tests and how the math, instead of the old-fashioned way, how we used to learn our multiplication tables and just over and over and over again, now I guess they're just doing these story mathematics games. And the same thing with the various types of English. I mean, at the lowest level, say, from K-9, and like I saw an example of a third grader, they're teaching them how to manipulate words and take those words, and actually they're changing the kids' perception of what a word would be. Have you seen any of this going on, either one of you?
It is interesting. I think the thing you're talking about is the video. It's on YouTube. It was submitted by a guy named Oak Norton, and he reviews a Common Core-aligned English language arts textbook for first graders. I think the title of the textbook is Voices. So the Common Core-aligned English language arts textbook went through and basically told children things like words to use to get people to act, to get the first graders to be able to write language that would encourage activism, how to choose specific words to elicit a type of response from the person. First graders don't need to be doing that.
Aren't we supposed to be teaching
English.
Them words and how to read and write?
Right, how to write.
Instead of manipulate?
Read. Right. So it's actually on YouTube. If anybody wants to go and see it and search the name Oak Norton, I'm not doing it justice, but to watch it and see it play out, I mean, I thought it was really shocking.
I think if they type in just Utah and Common Core and text, uh-huh. I think that'll pop right up. And
yeah.
People really need to watch some of these things.
Yeah.
It's scary almost.
Yeah, actually, we have it. I just posted that. I just remembered. I posted that on our Hoosiers Against Common Core website. It should be one of either the first or second post. So if you go to www.HoosiersAgainstCommonCore, that video, I just posted it today.
And the example, if I recall, in the video, it instructs the child, instead of saying, "My mother asked me to clean my room," you should write, "My parents nagged me to clean my room."
Gee, Mom, thanks for being such a nag.
As a parent, I didn't appreciate
it. We're talking about education. We're talking about Common Core. We're talking about standards. You know, it seems like teachers have been left out in the cold. I mean, on my own, I've talked to teachers. I always ask, and it shocks me, the number of teachers that just don't know anything about this at all. The Obama administration and the Department of Education support this issue. But where do these teachers stand on this? Have you heard any feedback at all from the NEA or from any local teaching organizations that are around?
Well, our experience, we've gone all across the state, as you know, and when we've spoken to different groups, we have had teachers come listen to our presentation, and many of them are saying they completely agree. They have the same fears and the same concerns. But one of the biggest problems is that teachers no longer feel free to express themselves. They're concerned about their job. So you have a certain percentage of teachers who share our concerns. Some are more willing to speak out publicly than others, but they're telling us that many share our concerns, but they're afraid to speak out, and others feel rather helpless. Their opinion no longer matters. like it once did in this country.
Well, I was wondering, you know, they talk about this methodology of teaching, you know, and teachers teaching. I've noticed and I've heard from some teachers that today it's not teaching kids how to think and look at material. It's teaching to the test. And part of Common Core is revolving around this.
When you think about the new power of the Common Core aligned tests, and mostly from measures set down from the Department of Education, these tests and the students' results on the new Common Core aligned test will dictate school accountability measures, teacher evaluations, teacher merit pay. When teachers are observed in the classroom, they are evaluated on how they, if they are following the Common Core with fidelity. I mean, that word just bothers me in itself. So when you tell a teacher, if your children don't perform well on this test, your school won't be rated well and your merit pay will not come through, tenure may not be extended to them, they are teaching to the test. And that's why the methodology and the pedagogy in the Common Core is in every single textbook that's Common Core aligned, because teachers have to teach the pedagogy in order to do well on the Common Core aligned tests.
There's one other thing. You know, in the news lately, we've had learned that the federal government, through its National Security Agency, is providing all kinds of data and things like that. When we do it, how we do it, where we're doing it. Since the last time we spoke, I've been wondering, one of the aspects of Common Core is data collection with respect to the children. Have you got any good information how that kind of has been twisted around? And, hey, if the NSA can get everything on me, what are they going to be getting on the teachers, which is on the kids, I mean?
Well, there is some good news for Indiana. I mean, I have had information that we will not do the PARC assessment. Now, that is one step alleviating some of the more dangerous aspects of data collection, because Indiana's agreement with the PARC consortium, the Common Core Aligned Test, it requires Indiana to make all student data that they collect through the assessments available for linking to the Department of Education on an ongoing basis. So that is one thing that hopefully we're not going to have to worry about. But there are other methods of data collection. We have a federated data system in Indiana. It connects the workforce development, higher ed, and the Department of K-12 education. And all that data will be shared between them. They've reduced the FERPA laws, the Family Education Rights Privacy Act, not through Congress, but through regulation, the Department of Education, which expands the definition of the type of person who is allowed to have personally identifiable information on your child accessible to them. So it's growing.
This seems just like a continuation of the stuff that's been going on. When the Congress passes laws and we have a constitution that is supposedly a governing body, and yet these agencies like the Department of Education and NSA and everything else like this, they just literally do what they want to do through their regulations.
Right. I mean, it's like the Common Core is sort of like an alliance between bureaucracy and these private trade associations and business groups who are undermining American principles of the Constitution, of states' rights, state constitutions, and pretty much just setting policy on their own. And it's wrong.
One last question, Heather. What can parents do in their individual states or nationally when it comes to this problem? What can they do? How should they react if they have a feeling on this?
They should get involved at every level, and that means starting with talking to your principal, talking to your superintendent, making sure they hear the voice of concerns, and then going up to through the political process, talk to your elected officials at the state level, your governor, your state board of education, and network with other concerned parents and those who are fighting this around the state. We're up to 19 states, I believe, all have websites up and going. Hoosiers Against Common Core is our website. And there's the Truth in American Education website, which is www.truthinamericaneducation.com. And that's really a clearinghouse for the many people who are fighting this all across the country. So visit Truth in American Education and see if there's activism occurring in your state. And if so, connect with them and work together, because what we've found is that when people hear the truth and find out the research and the facts, it's a no-brainer.
Erin, Heather, thank you. I'd like to thank you both for coming on my show today. I also would like to point out that any American citizen is welcome to come on a future episode of America Speaks Out and express their own opinions and ideas about today's topics. The FlyPod Network is a neutral forum, so regardless of your point of view or your political affiliation, it makes no difference to us. So if you'd like to come on the show, contact us by email right here at the studio, shout@theflypod.com. Well, that's my show for today. From Studio 7, I'm your host, Alex Pernyuk, coming to you free and clear through the New Media Network program feeds of www.theflypod.com. Until next time, thank you for listening, and so long.